Bismillahirrahmanirrahim.
Yesterday in the khutbah, Unala read a hadith from Ibn Majah. Man afdalun nas? Who's the best person? When we are engaged in the service of Allah Ta'ala, then this question will arise many a time, that what's the best thing, what's the better thing? And yesterday I explained the verse of the Quran, الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. They don't only listen, but after listening they look for the best cause. They heard the adhan, so they listened and they responded. So the fuqaha explained that listening is of two types. One is fa'li and one is qawli. That you respond to the adhan by your action. That means you come towards the masjid. And the other type of listening is only to listen to the Quran, to the adhan. So both are meritorious. Just to listen to the adhan is meritorious, but to respond physically is compulsory. Right. For those that are in the vicinity of a masjid, then to respond physically is compulsory. So now one is to listen, and listening is an obligation. الَّذِينَ يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ. Again in the Quran, أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ وَهُوَ شَهِيدٌ. Okay. The virtue is for the person who listens. أَلْقَ السَّمْعَ, with the presence of the mind. I'm listening but with an absent mind. Here, but mind is what's going to happen on Eid's day, and what's not going to happen, which church are we going to meet, and what we're going to eat, So you are here, but you're not here. Physically you are here, mentally you're elsewhere. So the Quran Sharif says that you want to gain something, then with the presence of the mind and the presence of the body, listen carefully. So when you listen carefully, then Allah Ta'ala bestows you with the tawfiq to apply what you have heard. You heard something, you listen to it properly. When you listen to it properly now, you want to apply the thing. So, a lot connects to the right listening. Listening with the presence of the mind, listening with an undivided attention, listening with respect. So you listen with respect, undivided attention, and listened with an undivided mind, then Allah Ta'ala will give you the tawfiq. Well, Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali used to conduct the lessons of Masnavi Mawlana Rum in the Haram Sharif in his day. And at times there used to be people that weren't understanding, they were not understanding the Persian that Mawlana was discussing. The kitab in Persian, and perhaps Mawlana was discussing this in Persian, and there was a non-Arab that was listening. So someone exclaimed that he's not conversant with the language, then of what benefit? So Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali answered, ke iske liye aur kisam ke kaan ki zarurat hai. You need a different type of ears to benefit from this. So it's not just the ear, just the language, something beyond the language. Look at a simple example in our samana, the Tabligh Jamaat, right? It's coming from India. When you trace the whole thing, where it started from, then India, then in UP, then in Delhi, then in Nizamuddin. So the whole thing is coming from Nizamuddin. The language that is being spoken is Urdu. But then when Allah Ta'ala wants to give it acceptance, then He will get the thing spread right through. How He does it, leave it to Him. But you do your work. the one that is doing the work with all sincerity, with all love, and with all dedication, he's doing his work. Then Allah Ta'ala will create the enthusiasm in the hearts of the people. So it's two things. Enthusiasm, the poet says, when the child cries, then the mother's breast flows. With the crying of the child, the breast flows. Child doesn't cry, there is no flow in the mother's milk. Right? When the heavens cry, then the gardens blossom. When the heavens cry, then the gardens blossom. So the whole thing is about crying. Yeah, the child cried and the mother's breast flowed. The heavens cried, in other words, it rained, and the gardens began to blossom. So you do your work, the rest leave it to Allah. So in that article that Mawlana read in the khutbah yesterday, lot of it was to do with salamatu sadr. Yawma la yanfa'u malu wala banun illa man atallaha biqalbin salim. That tomorrow on the day of Qiyamah, nothing will benefit but a qalb salim. The thing that will really benefit tomorrow will be a qalb salim. And I explained early on that we want to do something and we want to get the better marks. Right? يستمعون القول فيتبعون أحسن. Listen and then get the best. You listened and you got the best. That's a human trait. Right? You listen to something and you want to get the best after that. Right? You heard about some bargain, so you want to get the best. You heard some or some business, so you want to get the best. You hear about a health program, right? They say that every day there are a couple of thousand diet programs that are on the sites, right? It's running into about the biggest business nowadays, the diet programs, right? So many thousands, right? So you will come across, but you will try and work in your mind, which is the better one? Which is the better one? This also, I hear this one program, it's another program, it's another program. One is saying, don't eat wheat at all, no starch. And the other one is saying, only eat veg. The other thing is, only eat meat. So now, sometimes there's so much of diversity, you try to work out which is the better one. So, human mind and understanding is always subject to faulting, right? Always faulting. The scientists used to say, early on, many years ago, they used to say that the earth is flat. Then they changed the whole tune. They said, no, it's not flat now, now it's round. Then they changed the tune again. Then they say it's oval. So they keep changing. Right? Before they should say about evolution, about monkey and all that. And then the monkey story stopped. Now they say it's not monkey, it is something else. What they call this, you know, molecules, yeah. From where to, from there to the molecule. Now, these people that talk about molecules, they are laughing at the monkeys, right? And the monkeys were laughing at the monkeys before them. So that carried on. So the monkey before that, they started laughing at these monkeys, these people are laughing at that. I won't be surprised that 20, 30 years, there will be some other monkeys will come up, they will laugh at the molecule monkeys. So it will carry on like that. So it's all guessing. Guesswork and speculation. Right? So human knowledge is like that. It keeps changing, there isn't a point where it just settles. So we have to go to something that is immutable. It doesn't change, it doesn't alter. The times will change, people will change. Today, if you look in this masjid, in the sitting, then say 90 years ago, the people that were seated here, none of them were here, right? Any of them were here 90 years ago. And inshallah, 90 years from now, all that are here, they won't be around. Something can happen. Like you get in Bangladesh someone 115 years of age. You get one rare incident, you get something like that, right? But inshallah, after 90 years, you won't find those people that are seated here. So the world keeps changing all the time. So we need to have a program that is immutable, doesn't change, no alteration is there. It the same that was in the past exists now and will exist tomorrow as well. So that is the word of Allah Ta'ala, immutable, doesn't change, doesn't alter. Like Allah Ta'ala na'uzu billah doesn't change, then His word also doesn't change. He doesn't change, His word doesn't change. If He was merciful, then He is merciful. And He will be merciful. It's not that He wasn't, then He became. No. He was, He is, and He will be. So this is this applies to all His attributes that He was, He is, and He will be. So if he gave a dictative, he made a statement that it is, it was, and it will be. Now, it is for us to hold on to it. So some hadith is saying that who is the best? So in one hadith, the Rabbi Sim says, the best is, the hadith goes like this, that Al-Khalqu Iyalullah, the creation is the children of Allah Ta'ala. The creation is like the children of Allah Ta'ala. So when the creation is like the children of Allah Ta'ala, then the best person will be that person who is best towards his children. Understand? Will be the best. These are my children. So the one that looks after my children best will be the best. He takes care of them. Now, the beauty of Nabi Sam's word was that excellently he expressed it, that the most intelligent person can grasp it full, and the person that is the weakest, he can also grasp it, and he can grasp it full. Okay, who's the best person? Well, creation is like the creation of, like the child of Allah Ta'ala, and the best towards my children will be the person that is best towards him. See this. Now, just to understand this in a worldly sense, right? One friend was speaking of a story about a person in White River, right? So this happened somewhere, perhaps in Middleburg. It started off, ended up in White River. So the youngster went on to drugs, and the parents threw him out of the house. Now, when they threw him out of the house, some friend or some relative felt sorry for him. So daily he would give him food, and he had one car or some van. So you can sleep there. Now, if I'm going to call you in the house, the wife's going to make a noise, and the family people get to know they'll make another problem. So I'll keep you comfortable, give you all what you need, the covering, blanket, all that. And there's a toilet here, you can use that, and I'll see to your food. So, khane ka masla ho gaya, rehne ka masla ho gaya. Time passed on, and it happened that a Tabligh Jamaat happened to come into the area. Tabligh Jamaat would go to everybody. They would leave anybody. In the old days, there used to be a Hajj camp in India. I don't know, some of you must have heard of a Hajj camp. So the Tabligh Jamaat will go everywhere. That's their work. They'll go into a bar, they'll go everywhere. They won't spare anybody. So they go to the Hajj camp. The Hajj camp used to be, I don't know if it still exists. I'll be here. It still exists. So people are coming from far and wide. Villagers, people from towns, people that know about urban life, people that don't know. So they'll collect them all at the Haji camp, right? So now, the Haji camp, there'll be someone to guide them, or this is what you do, this is what you do, how you, your passport, ticket, what you required, your finance, all that. They will guide you and show you how you must go on, right? So you'll be stationed at the Haji camp sometimes 1 week, or sometimes 1.5 week. They'll give you the necessary guidance, and then from there you take the flight or you board the ship and they take you. So the Tabligh Jamaat used to penetrate this as well. So now, they come into the Haji camp and they'll work with people. Then as you board the ship or the plane, they are there with you again. Then as you jump off, you're at Makkah, then you're proceeding to Mina, Muzdalifah, Arafat, Makkah, Medina, Munawwara, they're with you. You know, kaise hame hamare piche chhodte hi nahi, Wherever we are, the audio case. Eventually, after the Hajj, the man is connected. He comes right. Puri zindagi uski badal jati se. Before he was shouting them, but after that he said, hey, but if they went for these people here, I don't know what I would have done here. I didn't know what was the Kaaba Sharif. Now, we don't realize, we don't understand this, because we're coming from a background that is literate, right? We have some understanding and some knowledge. But what happens to the common person, the villager, the one that is living in the sticks, you don't know what's going on. So you may not appreciate the Tabligh Jamaat approach. Why you don't approach it? You don't appreciate it because you don't know what's going on. Imagine after the Hajj is over now. So one person, you know the Turkish section, that before it was raised, now I think it's on one platform. One person is asking me, you know, the Turkish section, after the Hajj is complete now, it's about the 12th day, no, not 12th day, about 14th day, 14th to the 15th day, he's asking me, Mulisab, he's pointing to the Kaaba, say, wo kiska mazar hai? Whose mazar, whose grave is that? You know, they're all going round and round. So whose mazar? Now you see the background they're coming from. Now you're thinking why they are working on the case, but do you know what's going on there? You know what's going on. So it's a blessing that they're there and they're on the case, right? They may be sometimes overdoing some things, but really they're keeping on track. They're keeping on track. If it wasn't for them, the Hajj would have gone. You are involved in shirk, and you come back as a kafir. You don't know anything what's happened. You just went there, you saw the mazar there, everybody going round and round. So you just joined up and carried on. Now you don't know what was Hajj. You don't know anything about it. So it is a sight. See, this work, it's linked up to people of little understanding, right? And those people of understanding, they linked up to people of better understanding, and they linked up to ulama ikram. So this is where they're getting the guidance. And these are the people that on the ground applying it. This person, that person, every tabqa, they're getting a fair share. Right? So I speak about this because sometimes they may come into our areas, the jamaat, right? And you need to understand what type of work they are doing. Don't turn them away. Don't be rude. Don't be impolite. Whichever way you can show some respect, show them the respect. If you can take them for a day, or you can house them, or for example, there's a Mastura Jamaat, you can show some assistance. You should do it. You must do it. And you're going to be doing it for your own good, not for their good, for your own good. There are cases here, you know, you don't know about it, right? There are cases, right? Girls are dressing in bikinis, leading loose lives, selling their bodies. One Mastura Jamaat comes, like I say, they work with everybody. And then somehow they contact this one, that one, all these girls come in. And then at night they hear people are sobbing, crying loudly. These girls are changing their lives. They're coming in bikinis, they're going out with abayas. The whole life is just capsized. Right? That one, two nights that they are with them. So that's why I say it may be a change, starting point, a change for your own household. So you're not going to be doing them a good, you're doing yourself a good. So you house them, kept them for a night, gave them a da'wat, something or the other. Right? You do not know what the future holds for you, for your children, for your progenies. But your children saw that my father or my mother used to respect them, send food, entertain the jamaat, whatever, father used to attend the program. So the child will feel, no, this is right. Because if it was wrong, my father wouldn't have attended. He attended, so that's right. And he was good, because perhaps he linked up those who was good. So I need to do the same. So he may not link up straight away, but with the passage of time, then he links up. Now he begins to see it in better perspective. Now I see, I understand it now. But until he understands it, in maybe another 15, 20 years. But this is what he saw. When he saw that, he wants to imitate it. Then there's a change in his life. See? So understand the sequence of events, how it works, then you'll be able to appreciate. Right? So we are talking about this person in Middelburg, right? And the whole story starts off here. So there's one jamaat that carries on and working. That's the work. They'll go into a bar, pull the person out. Go into a shack, they'll get people out of there. get into some environment, somewhere somebody is shouting them, somebody is on a smear campaign, and they are told, but you don't answer anything, just listen to them and carry on. Your guna will get maaf. So that's a story that Jamaat will give them. Don't answer and you carry on your work. So you don't know the hundreds of goods that are coming out of it. One simple good that Abu Ustaz used to say, that for the day you can only get sawab for one faras namaz, right? For one day you can get the sawab of one faras namaz. Like we did today Saturday morning, right? We did Fajr namaz, right? Imam Sahib read one najmi idha hawa, right? So Saturday morning you can only read one fajr. Can you read two fajrs? Yeah, in a josh now, read two fajrs. Can you do it? With all the josh you got, with all the imani quwwat, can you make the second fajr? Third fajr, can you make it? You can't. But now you heard about the immense reward of the fajr namaz with jamaat. Masha'ina bin nuri tammi yawm al qiyamah. Come in the dark and you get a perfect nur on the day of qiyamah. Now you want a double reward and a treble reward and a quadruple reward. Now how do you get it? So the hadith says, Ad-dallu al-khayri kafa'ilihi. You show someone the right, he gets on, you're going to get the reward, right? Like, you know how they work this pyramid scheme businesses, right? You get a client and you get a share. You get a client and you get a share. It carries on. Although it is not recognized, not valid, right? But I'm just showing a pyramid scheme. But the difference between the pyramid scheme and this scheme here is, here you're getting a full reward. The pyramid scheme will give about 2%, 3% for the client that you introduce. And here if you introduce, as though you introduce a client to the masjid, you're getting 100% sawab. He gets a sawab, and you get credited with 100%. You call the second person, same. 200%, 300%, 400%. So 10 persons you called, you got 1,000% sawab. This Qari Musa Sahib, right? So his father came here some odd years ago. So nice, simple person. So I just told him, you know, what you can do in your own way. You got a circle of friends. So you got your phone now. You know, with your phone, you must call all your friends for namaz. So he came after 4 or 5 months. He will come and talk to me and all that. His own stories he got. So he'll come and tell me. So after about 5 months, he came and he said, "Mu, I got about 30 people. Get them all for tahajjud to fajr." From tahajjud to fajr, I get them all. That was he made it his business. Now those people went to doing tahajjud, not fajr namaz. And he linked up somehow, so he makes sure all are getting for tahajjud, all are getting for fajr namaz. Then he leaves them. But when you want to make a thing work, you can make it work. You want to do a business, right? You will make it work. Somehow you're going to sell that program. You're going to present it one way, second way. You'll phone, put an advert, put it onto the WhatsApp, put it onto the Gumtree. Somewhere, that person is going to pluck the thing. So these type of works that are happening, provided they've got the blessings of our elders, right? Then respect the thing, don't go against it, and to the best of your ability, you can support it, whichever way. That person that's coming in, he feels, hey, these people are supporting me, alhamdulillah. He feels motivated. But now you show him a cold shoulder, what people are doing is causing divisions in the ummah and all, but you're not doing anything. They're creating a lot of division, but what are you doing? Doing absolutely nothing you're doing. So they're doing something, and the mistakes they're making, Allah Ta'ala correct them for it. If you are in a position to advise them, then advise them. But now, you're not doing it, and someone else is doing it, running him down, that's not right. So that little movement that they are doing, getting this person, that person, from a drug habit, from here, from there, and they're making the person a 5-time namazi. Sometimes he's becoming a tahajjud guzar. But that little bit of harkat, movement. So anyway, this person took pity on this person here. It must have been his friend or his relative, so he took pity on him. I got an old kaya, I'm not using it. Go sleep there. I'll give you all the covering that you want. There's a toilet and 2 meals in the day he would make it available. Jamaat came around. I said, they won't spare anybody. So they got this person also. They took him for 3 days. And 3 days went to 40 days. 40 days, then he changed his whole life, broke that whole habit. He bust that whole habit, gone, finished. Then he thought to himself, what must I do now? Here, in Middleburg, I got a bad name, reputation now. People say, oh, druggy. Now I feel down now. So I don't want to remain here now. Let me move my town. See, we've got to have bad habits. Our habits are quite bad. We don't realize to taunt, tease, run down the person is worse than taking the drug. One is taking the drug, and the other is the one that is taunting, running down, ridiculing, disgracing the person. The hadith says, وَلُوْ كَانَ فِي قَعْرِ بَيْتِي. Allah Pak will disgrace you, even though you're right in your house. Inside your house, Allah Pak will disgrace you. So don't disgrace the person. I say it in a different way. Advise, but don't despise. What? Advise, in a nice way. You got the person on the side, talk to him, respect him, advise him, but don't despise him. Don't run him down. You are practicing, it is just the grace of Allah Ta'ala. Allah Pak removes the grace, you're gone. Over you. Same second, you're gone, finished. It's just the grace of Allah Ta'ala that's blocked you, saved you. So now you're proud about that. You can't be proud about that. Yes, you are grateful, but you have to be apprehensive because it's just the grace of Allah Ta'ala that's covered you. If it's removed from you, then what's going to happen? Tumhara kya haal hoga, kya hashar hoga? So this person moved from Middleburg. He said, no, here I heard enough taunts and whatever. I can't remember the town. It doesn't have to be Middleburg, but I'm just guessing that perhaps it was here. So he moved away from here. He started off in White River. Now, he started off small, something small, and then he opened up a hardware, small hardware. And his intention must have been so good, you know, intention, trust in Allah Ta'ala, must have been so good that he just expanded. Now that he's about 40 million rand, that business, right? Now it grew so big, the thing, so he thought of his friend that housed him and fed him. He said, see, I can't manage this business now. You just come over here, half is yours. See, Allah Pak's plan. You respected the person, or whatever it was, all right. It's not that you support the addict, but you're supporting a Muslim. In his own way, you're shouting. If he needs to be shouted, you're shouting him, but you're correcting him. He can see that you like him. You're shouting him not because you want to run him down. The one is you see him and say, yeah, a druggy, come here. In the masjid, or outside, in a public area. Druggy, what are you doing? You're still drugging. So to disgrace that person. So now I got nothing left now. Let me do it openly. And one is you call him home and you fed him and you shout at him, all right. Then he doesn't mind because now he can see that you're shouting him because of your feeling for him. But you shout him at a public spot, that means you're trying to disgrace him, you're trying to run him down, or you're talking to others about him. You know that person, he fell into drugs. So he gets to know that you are talking about him. How does he feel? Or you put it in the WhatsApp that this person is in drugs. How does he feel? So that's what more time I should say, rahmatullah alayh. That before doing anything, ta'ammul, think, what I'm doing, what's the consequence, short term, long term, what is the consequence, think, don't just do things randomly. See, this random, just doing things randomly, causes a lot of problems, a lot of mistakes. Maybe Allah Pak will give him guidance, and yubtaliq, and you get involved. He moves that person to the right, and he involves you. I was giving one incident. Mawlana says that incident is in Mirqat. So it was to understand. See, Allah Pak doesn't like this, that you run down anybody, you disgrace. You must advise. Don't despise. You must advise. You don't despise the person. Don't run him down. Right? The only time that you can be a little bit boastful is a time of jihad, combat. Like, come on, boy. You're a coward, come on. You want any guts, come in. I'll show you one stroke, I'll finish you up. So there you can show yourself out. But on other occasions, you can't do this. You can't have this approach. You have to be respectful, careful. I would say even if it's a kafir, boy, be careful. See, in the time of the Mawtami Sahib Rahmatali, someone was accusing him that you were supportive of the English. So Mawtami, I'm not supportive of the English. get the picture right. If you say, it's not going to hurt me, but understand my stance. My stance is this, that I'm not supportive of them, nor do I like them, nor do I like the rule. I don't like it. But there can be two approaches. One is to openly attack them, confront them, openly attack them, right? It's a thing that they started off, and I'm openly attacking them, or I'm inciting others, right? So if I'm going to openly attack them or incite others, they're going to protest. They're going to be a march, right? So the government is going to see now what's happening. They will trace it. They will trace it to me, right? So there's going to be two problems here. One is there's going to be problems for me, and one is there's going to be a problem for those people that are going to be protesting and burning things down, running things down. They're going to be after me, and they will be after my people. So my life will be endangered, and these people that will support me, their lives will be endangered. I won't get anything out of it, right? See? So that will be one scenario, one case scenario. Although people will say, you know, but you're not supporting us, you're not supporting. But if you support them, then this supporting what it means in today's climate, you see something wrong now. You can't take it now, go and burn down, run it down, go and shoot, go and kill, right? Now, see the education system is all fallen down because of the same thing. There was a small problem in the university, go and burn it down. So then the education, the classes are halted for a couple of days, 5 days, 1 week, 2 weeks. Again, they start off. And again, they have a small problem. Again, they burn it down. They're stoning someone's car down, some professor, some lecturer. So what happens to the education? Education suffers. They suffer. Education suffers. The country suffers. Everybody suffers. So this type of an approach, I ask, is it a practical approach? You're going to cause problem for yourself, problem for others. So say, I don't apply this approach. I don't openly oppose them, nor secretly approach them. But my not opposing them is not because I like them or because I support them. Because I don't want to put myself into a problem and a predicament. I don't want my people to be falling into a predicament. So that was the idea. Not for myself to be in a predicament and not my people to be in a predicament. I don't want that to happen. Tomorrow he'll be imprisoned for whatever he's done, but it was my fiery talk that I gave. That person got fired up and he did something, so he's in prison. He's in prison. Now, will I go and support the person that is in prison now? Bail him out from prison? Will I do that? Will I do that? So understand now, I don't have the strength, I don't have the power. Now, what within my strength, within my ability, what must I do to better the situation? So that approach is the right approach. Because legally, they won't say that you are doing anything wrong. They won't consider you to be a threat, not to be a rebel, not to be a terrorist, nothing. Right. I don't like the system. I'm not in agreement with what they're doing. But now, what are my democratic rights? What can I do to better the situation for myself and for my people? So I said, what I recommend, if these things happen, you're not in agreement with something, then you must do it and do it legally. Legally, if, for example, you're not in agreement with something, so you got a petition, and you petition the government that this is something that we're not in agreement with, so you all need to reconsider. Now, if it's within your democratic rights, they will uphold it, and they'll see that these people are a very peace-loving community. They're not up in arms, they're not radicals, they're not acting like animals and beasts. They're very well dignified and respectful. So they will get to respect them. Now, see now the approach. They're not after a position, they're not after the seat in the government, after the party, after... We don't know anything. Just give us our rights. This is what we don't agree with, and this is what we're in agreement with, so give us our rights. They will look at you, and they will look at you favorably. So you see, people, sometimes, you spur them up emotionally, and then you leave them hanging. Now, you're not there to support them. When they're in problems, you're not there to support them. And sometimes you take the other extreme, hey, I'm just doing my business and not worry about anything else. Right? So you'll do the business, but then The third case is that you're not getting fired up, you're not a rebel, but within your democratic rights, whatever you can do, petition, ask, inquire, right, you're asking for that. So that's the better cause. See, يَسْتَمِعُونَ الْقَوْلِ فَيَتَّبِعُونَ أَحْسَنَ. You listen nicely, understand, and then follow the better cause. Listen, understand, then and thereafter follow the better cause. Understand what's going on. So, in one hadith, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi is saying that who's the better person? The better person, Al-Khalqu Iyalullah. The creation is the children of Allah Ta'ala. The best person will be the best towards the children. Right? Like you got 10 children, and one is making a lot of money, right? But he's just self-centered, selfish. And the other one is making quite a good money he's making, but he's taking care of all the 10 children. So which child will be your favorite? The one that is just worried about himself, or the one that is taking care of the other children? Obviously, the one that is taking care of the other children, you'll like him more than the one that is selfish. See? So now, this hadith is very much applicable in this day. Everybody wants to be just guarding himself, at the most, him and his children. But something for the public, what can I do? Time, my wealth, how can I help out? How can I support with my limitations? What can I do? So every person can do something according to his limitations, according to his ability, he can do. Right, you open your mind, you can do it. But you don't open your mind, so no, I can't do anything now, worry about myself. Right. So one hadith speaks about that. Right. And the other hadith that he spoke about was that the best person is kullu makhmumul qalb. Kullu makhmumul qalb. Makhmum comes from the word khamma. Khamma is to sweep. So his heart is like clean. He's cleaning it up. Makhmumul qalb. In other words, he's cleaning it up. So I was trying to wonder why did Nabi Sallam use the word makhmumul qalb? Instead of saying safiul qalb, he said, ya safiul qalb, he said, makhmumul qalb. Why did he use that word? So because everything Nabi Sallam uses, there's a reason. So Nabi Sallam is using this word perhaps to impress upon us. You see, when you come to this world, then you're going to get soiled. Kullu bani Adam khata'un. You're going to get soiled, this thing is going to happen, you see something, you'll hear something, you'll go through some experience, something's going to come and affect the clarity of your heart. You can't say that you came to this planet, to earth, and the clarity of your heart was not affected. It was affected. Sometimes your child is not right, sometimes your wife is not right, sometimes your brother is not right, sometimes the household is not right, sometimes the friends in the masjid are not right, sometimes the people that you're doing business with are not right. So something is going to come to upset you. Upset you means to alter your heart. See? So you're going to sweep the place if it is dirtied. But if it's going to be perfect, is there a need for it being swept? Is there going to be a need for that thing to be swept? No. So as though Nabi Sallam is impressing upon us, see, you're going to come here, you're going to get messed up. So you're going to get messed up, just keep sweeping yourself. What? Keep sweeping yourself. Keep cleansing yourself, washing yourself down. So that's the plan of the world, right? No, man, I can't manage all the time the problems. Then look for another planet. You're going to come here, right? You're going to eat, and then after you're going to mess yourself. Aren't you going to mess yourself? When you're going to mess yourself, don't you have to make istinja and wash yourself? You have to wash yourself. No, I don't like this. Every day I must go to the toilet and wash myself. Oh, stinking, everything was coming out. Pisab coming one side, number two coming on one side sometimes. Music coming from the other side. But we'll see. But look for another planet. Jannat, you won't have any problems. Jannat, you won't have any problem. No number one, no number two, nothing. Everything will come out like a fragrant dakar will come out. One old chacha came here, right? 1981 or 82 he came here. So he lost his wife and he was planning to remarry. So I knew the chacha. So he came home, he came home. So I said, chacha, you found someone? I said, no, man. I went here, that woman, her cheeks wasn't right. So one here, the eyes wasn't right. The other one, the height wasn't right. Other one that she was too fat. So I told the Chacha, bhai, just cut your losses and take a girl that is suitable, because the girl with a perfect constitution is going to be in Jannah first. Perfect cheeks, perfect eyes, perfect teeth, perfect height, everything to the level of perfection will be in Jannah. Yeah, you have to cut your losses. And I asked the Chacha after that in a little bit of a soft tone, but Chacha, are you also totally perfect? Your height and your looks, if every girl had to check you now, I think from 10 girls, 9 will write you off. So like she will write you off, and she will discount, so you must also discount. So the world is a world of compromises. Some things agree, some more or less you're seeing things are all right, take it and carry on. Perfect, you're looking for perfect, you're not going to get here. That's the world. You will get some flaws here, some weaknesses this side, that side, your side, her side. And you need to recognize and carry on. Now you keep on looking at her faults, your wife's faults. Then you'll never be a happy person. You think, alright, if she got faults, I got my faults as well. Alright, she wakes up a little bit late, alright. I smoke. Now, she doesn't like the smell. And I don't like her sleeping late. So now, she's got problems, I got problems. Both of us now, I must cover her and she must cover her. Nisaukum. What? Libas, what? Was it right? Hunna libasul lakum wa antum libasul lahun. You cover them up and they cover you up. You are their garment and they are your garment. You cover, they cover. Carries on, you enjoy life. Right? But you keep looking at false, hey, this one. So, that is saying what? Kullu makhmumul kalb. That's the best person. So, one who is an acid. The better the acid, then the better the person. He's a great asset. The greater the asset, the better the person. And here, kullu makhmumul qalb. You can reconcile both of these very easily, but you can give a different explanation as well. You can say in one situation, this was more required. In another situation, that was more required. For what was required more in that situation, Nabi Sallam explained accordingly. If, for example, in a situation where everybody is namazis, right, and there's a need for jihad, then it will be said that the best thing is to go in jihad. Why? All are already namazis. They are already namazis, then this is what I will say. So according to the situation here, this is the best person. According to this situation, this is the best person, right? So now, who is Mahmoom al-Qalb? So the Sahaba Ikram asked, Saduqul lisan na'arifu. Ma mahmumul qalb. As far as being truthful, because Nabi said the best person is who? Mahmumul qalb, saduqul lisan. The one that is honest and truthful. We understand what it means. But mahmumul qalb, what does it refer to? So, you know, you must keep asking dua for the Sahaba Ikram. They made it so easy. They asked all these small, these difficult things they asked, made it easy for us. For our ease and understanding, they asked Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, what is Mahmoor al-Qalb? So then, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi explained, then who is Mahmoor al-Qalb? Mahmoor al-Qalb is that one. Kullu naqiyin taqiyin. Naqi is clean. Heart is clean. Right? See, it's important to learn deen, and to learn deen in perspective, right? Learn deen in perspective. Don't run someone down and don't misconstrue. Running down is also wrong and misconstruing is also wrong. Right? One person came to Hazrat Ji Ramdai. He had a following of about 10,000 murids in Punjab. So he came to take bayat. So, namaz time, and he says, no, you know, I can't go and read namaz in Jamaat because, see, my yaksui, my thoughts are very, very collected. My thoughts are collected. My focus is right. And if I go into gatherings and all that, then I lose that focus. My thoughts become scattered. All spread out. So Hazrat Ibrahim explained to him, see, this focus and the collecting of the thoughts is required in tasawuf for you to get ihsan. It's a requirement, right? You can get this. But it's not a goal in its own. What? It's not a goal. So in the process of you performing namaz with jamaat, if that is upset or disturbed a little bit, it's not a problem. Why? Because the goal is the jamaat, namaz with jamaat. So sometimes we don't understand the true goals, what is the right goal. Now someone is talking about, for example, zikr, so he makes that the goal, right? We don't underestimate the power of zikr, right? Well, zikrullahi akbar, the greatest thing, right? But now what is the true meaning of zikr? Now, seldom do we understand what is the right meaning of zikr. Zikr is the consciousness, the awareness. Zikr is actually the work of the heart. So you're conscious of Allah Ta'ala at any given time. Conscious, aware. Right? So if you're aware and conscious of Allah Ta'ala correctly, then will you do anything wrong? You won't do wrong. Right? But if you restrict that zikr just to the verbal zikr, that's the main thing, right? That's the main thing. Then there'll be discrepancies in your life. Now, there's a case where people are engaging zikr in the khanqa, kind of real situations, and it's azan going, namaz is being performed with jamaat in the neighborhood. You're just three doors away, namaz is taking place with jamaat, and you have left the jamaat, namaz, right? Can you call the zikr? You won't call it zikr. Because the zikr required the true consciousness of Allah Ta'ala. Namaz is taking place with jamaat, and you abandon the jamaat, whereas you had no valid reason to leave out the jamaat, you left out the jamaat. I ask you, can you call it zikr? You can't call it zikr now. Because if you had the true and the right consciousness, then that would have pushed you to go first into the masjid. If you had the right consciousness and the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, right? So you wouldn't have been abandoning the masjid, you would have been the first person. In fact, if you were there, you would ask the muazzin, give me the keys or the duplicate, because I come a little earlier for the Fajr namaz, so I can get into the masjid and get things right before people can come. Won't that happen? Now that is when you have got the right understanding of zikr. But you didn't understand what is zikr, and this is when there is a problem. So if you got the understanding zikr, what is zikr, then you'll know how to apply the thing. Consciousness of Allah Ta'ala, the awareness of Allah Ta'ala, what Allah Pak wants me to do at which time. That's called zikr. Right? What Allah Pak wants me to do at which time. Right? Hazrat Muhammad Thanvi Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, he's engaged in his Fajr Sunnats. So from all the Sunnats, the best Sunnat is the Sunnat of the Fajr. There isn't a Sunnat that is as emphasized and important as the Sunnahs of the Fajr. So that's the best zikr. At that time, is there any zikr better than this? No. Now precisely when he is engaged in his Fajr Sunnat, someone just says a little loudly that your wife, she fell down and she's hurt. So he breaks the Sunnat and he goes to attend to her. Right? Now there's two responses. Ye to zan murid hai, kya? Ye to zan murid. He is, you know how you will say in English, petticoat government. He left Allah Ta'ala for a woman. See how the misconstrued, what? He left Allah Ta'ala. This is a level of remembrance. He left Allah Ta'ala for a woman. Isko kehte hai peer. See, you call that person doesn't know what is deen. Doesn't know what is deen, then he'll make this type of statements. Or he'll misbehave. He won't know. You know, I'm so engaged now. Leave the world now. They can die. Everything can die. I mean, engaged in Allah Ta'ala. So he showed what was zikr. At that time, what zikr required of you. That you, right, you have left your wife alone and she's hurt. Right? Mulana had no children, right? So now if she's hurt, is there going to be anybody to attend to her? Number one. Number two is, when a woman is hurt, right, then she'll need some help. Sometimes you need an ambulance or a doctor or something, right? Right. So until that is a paramedic or something is found, someone's going to find out, right? Now, when people are going to be finding out, and there is no man available, what's going to happen? Some strangers will come into the house. So the most prudent thing was to break the namaz at that time and attend to that. There's no other male. Now that means you are asking other men to go on. Someone is telling me now, hey, you know, I want a very good understanding with my wife, ma'am. She's going to be delivering now. So she's insisting now, Alima, she's insisting, I must be there at the time of the delivery. Now, what's your take on this? All these Western orientated, all these styles here, you hear from here, there. They talk of a water delivery. That woman must be inside the water and she must be delivered. All this stupid thing. Right? Do the right thing, simple things, do it. Don't go for these complicated things. So I told him, see, the moment that blood comes out, the child and the blood comes out, then she's in nifas. Right? In the state of nifas, you can't see that area. Can you see it? In the state of nifas, can the husband see that area? In the state of haze, can the husband see from the navel to the knee? Can he see? He can't take any pleasure. He can't see that, right? If he has to touch, then he can touch over some garment, right? If he touched the thigh or something, over the garment. But the bare naked body in the state of nifas, in the state of haze, can he see? So I asked, will that be the right thing? Can't be the right thing. Then, number two is this, around the time, there'll be other women, right, midwives and all that, that will be attending to your wife, right? Now they are watching there, and you also are spectating. Is that the right thing? If woman to woman, all right, you understand, they're doing something, but does your present now, is it respectable? What is the permissibility, impermissibility? But is it the respectable thing at that time? Number three is this, that see, this is not the first birth now in human history. Your father, your grandfather, great-grandfather, everybody, grandmother, everybody is born. They did all these things here. But they came nicely, but they didn't see the need to do all these things here. Now suddenly in the 21st century now there's a need to do this type of things. So leave all these modern inventions, do the right thing, simplicity, al-badazatu min al-iman. A good yardstick is what was done by our elders. We'll see what they did. And you'll find them, you know, after so many years, I'm reaching the conclusion with conviction that from all people, these people are closest to the Sunnah. They were the closest to the Sunnah. Right? It's very difficult to find them off the Sunnah. If you find them off the Sunnah, it's your misunderstanding. It's very close. If not exact, then they're very close. You can't find anybody as close to the Sunnah than our elders. So, boy, Yusuf, that day his father passed away. So, he read Yasin a little bit loudly. So, afterwards, I called him. Long story, but I called him. So, you know, the problems now will be you're reading Yasin loudly, right? The body is being lowered down. Then there'll be commotion now. The space will go through, right? Now, on the one side, you've got it that إِذَا قُرِيَ الْقُرْآنُ فَاسْتَمِعُوا لَهُ وَأَنْسِتُوا. Listen and remain silent. Now, are you remaining silent when all that commotion is going on? It's going to happen. Is the silence going to be maintained? No. Silence is not going to be maintained. Right? Number two, now people are thinking, should we listen to the Qur'an Sharif or should we get this thing sorted out? So, you can do it on your own time. Or you could do it silently. If you did it silently, alright, Iqra'u Yasin ala mawtakum, you're practicing that, right? You're reading Yasin on the deceased, and you're doing that. But you're doing it silently. Now, is there any problem, any contradiction? You will not see the contradiction. Number four, there may be someone in the crowd, many people, that also want to read. Now, because you are reading aloud, are they going to be reading loudly? They can't read loudly now. They're all stuck up with your recitation. Number five, one place I went, they asked me to come. So I went. The person is reading Surah Yasin in Qari Basit style. Hey, that is saying about 25 minutes it took him to Yasin, all the tajweed and the qiraat and whatever he could. And now you can't tell anybody anything at that time because everything is at that time everything is emotional. And when everything is emotional, you can't see. It's difficult to see. Many times you don't know the person. One person may do this 25 minutes, you're stuck up there now. And many a times, the burial is taking place after Asr, right? So the time between Asr and Maghrib is very short, 100 feet time is very short. Now you're going to be 25, 30 minutes there, then the Fatiha, everything will happen. By time, it's already Maghrib, you're going to miss out your Maghrib namaz. Or if that burial is taking place after Isha, everyone should shoot home quickly again. And you're causing a delay, see. So when there's a thing that's easy, practical, wait, leave the ease, don't get into a complicated style. And the easy way to see is what was done, what was practiced by our Akabir, what did they do? One chata is late now, nice, Namazi used to come to the top masjid. So he says, you know, after Namaz, you read Surah, you read Ayatul Kursi. After Faraz Namaz, you read Ayatul Kursi. Then between you and Jannat is your death. What? You die and straight to Jannat. So why don't you say, that person is telling me, why don't you say the Musallis, stop them and all read Ayatul Kursi. It's a wonderful thing. But then I thought, it's going to create a confusion now. In the Musallis, you got all types. Someone wants to leave quickly. Someone wants to make his own dua. Someone wants to make his tasbih. He'll read Ayatul Kursi later on. Now you're jamming them all. Stay here now. All of you read Ayatul Kursi. Then you leave. So, are you going to create a problem? So, see our Akabir tell that all these things, they left it to the discretion of the Musallis. You do it yourself. You do it. Encourage them. But don't have it a standard style like how you're saying. There's complications that come up with it. So it's all well thought. Whatever they have done is very well thought, very well designed. And it is just a matter for us to trust them, rely on them, and move on. Sometimes it may be a misunderstanding. Sometimes something has been done because of a contingency. It's a need of that moment, they did it. So find out, understand or why this was done. Well, this was a need, therefore they did it. It's not supposed to be a standard, but it was a need, so it was done. So again, we're coming to this hadith. Kullu makhmumil qalb. Fama makhmumul qalb. Who is that makhmumul qalb? So, kullu taqiyin naqiyin. So one is, his heart is clean. Taqiyin, he restrains. Right? So, he restrains against what? He restrains against the displeasure of Allah Ta'ala. But he restrains from the heart, he restrains. For example, his mind is taking him onto fantasizing about women, so he's restraining. Put a restrained order on his heart. Okay, you can't fantasize. It's haram, it's impermissible, right? You can't fantasize. Right? Or Buzugar will give something, it will help you to bring about this restraint. What? Say, for example, that girl's picture is captured so tightly in your heart, you can't delete it. So they'll give you something to support you, to assist you to. So you must just think of, for example, the same girl that you're thinking is so much of, right? Say, she's doing julab, but reverse. The julab in the reverse. You know the julab? Huh? No. Yeah. So the julab is coming out in reverse, right? And there's big, big worms coming out from the eyes and the ears. Now, you kiss her. Yeah? So, this one here will delete that idea. So that thought will be deleted by this one here. So, you need to delete the thought, but how are you going to delete the thought? So, you delete the thought by this one. See, a thought is breaking a thought. One thought is breaking. Now, you just leave it like that. Hey, she was something. Man. Hey, this one here, something. I missed it. You'll be 100 years of age, and that thing was about 95 years. And perhaps both of you have got Parkinson, walk your estate. But you still think of that kebab. Right. So you strike a thought with a thought, right? Strike the thought, you cut that diamond with diamond. So you strike the thought with a thought. So that thought will help you to remove all these wrong ideas. نقيين تقيين. تقي لا إثم ولا بغي. That's the second one, isn't it? لا إثم ولا بغي. So the heart is not sinful. Now what is meant by the heart not being sinful? So there's a lot of ways the heart can be sinful. You lent me ₹1,000,000 payable in 2 months, right? So I know now this Zain is a very, very soft person, polite person, very good person. So I'll just make an excuse, but you know what? Give me another 5 months, but you know what? You are out of money now. I can't pay it now. I'm stuck here. But I already made a plan that I will use your money to make business. Now, is my heart sinful or not? I'm using you. I'm stretching you. I promised you I'll give you in 2 months. I made up a plan that I want to make business with your money, and I'm stretching you for another 5 months. I ask you, is that sinful or not? It's sin. I'm stretching you. Now, next time, you won't have the heart to lend me money. This man, he doesn't pay up promptly. So I don't need to give him. You see? So the thought of sin, sometimes fantasizing, sometimes suppressing someone's right, sometimes ism can also mean you've got suspicions about people, baseless suspicions. Yeah, this person here, I don't know, man, what he's up to. So baseless suspicions about people. So anything that can amount to a sin, and you are meditating, right? La ithma wa la baghya. So that heart is not sinful, nor is it oppressing. It's not sinful, nor is it oppressing. Right? So you're not hurting anybody, you're not showing any cruelty to anybody, you're not doing it physically, and you're not planning it. Right? This person must come. I'll show you, give him a mouthful. I'll give him, let him have it. Right? So I'm not cruel, and I'm not sinful. Right? See, the Quran Sharif also speaks about a sinful heart. وَمَنْ يَكْتُمْهَا فَإِنَّهُ إِثْمٌ قَلْبُ. Then you talk about a sinful heart. A sinful heart is you're concealing some evidence that needs to be divulged. Evidence that needs to be divulged, but you're concealing it. Now, because you're not divulging that evidence, that person's right is getting suppressed. You know it, you got the evidence, and you need to just go and release that evidence, but you're not releasing it. In the process, that person's right is getting suppressed. So aren't you sinful for that? So la ithma wala baghya. Wala hasada wala ghilla. Wala ghilla wala hasada. And the third and the fourth thing is your heart is also clean of any malice, ill feelings. No ill feelings in your heart or anybody else. Or any jealousy, any type of jealousy, right? So now, if he's prospered in life, mashallah, that's not the end of the world. And prosperity is not only making something materially. Let me try some other thing. Let me be prosperous in deen. He's prosperous in the world. Good luck to him, and good luck to me as well. Why ask for bad luck for yourself? Good luck for him, for his prosperity. But that's not the end. Let me try something else. He'll do something. So if you get to see him, then you see him with a clean mind, with a clean heart. Your heart has got no malice, no ill feeling about his prosperity and the progress that he is making. Now, we have it in ourselves that if our brother or our friend, he's prosperous. So you say, these guys are doing all this uplang, man. They're buying off all the containers, they've got all the contacts. See now what they're doing. Our guys, see what they do. So you will make up these stories for our people if they are prosperous. Oh yeah, they're selling drugs, man. Getting India, they're getting drugs and all that. They're selling it wholesale here. That's how they're coming up. Otherwise, where you hear now, overnight the person became a millionaire. How it can happen? Can't happen. So now you already endorsed it, already stamped it that he's a sinner, he's like any evidence. No evidence. Mr. Price can become wealthy that you won't think anything about. The clever people, see, they've got the business acumen and see how he's making it, Mr. Price. So Mr. Price, you are praising him. Your brother, you're disgracing him. Is that the right thing? So, la ithma wa la baghya. wala hasada, wala ghilla. No jealousy and no malice. So this is called mahmumul qalb. And I explain, you came to this planet, so you're going to have a lot of things coming up. The idea is to keep sweeping it. Keep sweeping it. This morning I was just thinking of another idea, you know. It happens to men in this day, but it happens more to women all the time, right? Everybody wants to be bright and good looking, right? Everybody wants to be bright and good looking, right? You go to the Pakistani hairdresser, they'll comb your beard so nicely, your malish, a lot of things they'll do, right? Right? They'll make you look so young, right? So everyone wants to look nice. Now, someone came to meet one Sahabi, Abu Dujana. So, he asked him, why your face is so bright and looking so nice? How outstanding from everybody. He says, I got Salim al-Sadr, my heart is clean for everybody. See the same thing, we talk of Mahmoom al-Qalb and Salim al-Sadr. My heart is clean for everybody. So the goodness here reflects on the face. See, this is, if it's clean, then it'll be a good reflection on the face. The face is looking bright and nice. Why? The heart is nice. And they put all the cream and all that, the cream goes away, there's nothing. People know it's just the venue of the cream only. You put alcohol cream, water cream, super rose, and you're looking like a rose, right? But they know it's a makeup, it's false. And this is real. If this is right, then that beauty will just naturally appear. So he says, I take care of two things. One is, I have a good heart. And number two, I don't get involved in things that don't concern me. So this is the brightness that you are watching. It's coming from a sahabi, can't be wrong, inshallah, right? The two things that I commit myself to, I have a clean heart all the time, like I just explained. And number two, I don't get involved in things that don't concern me. Now, I'm an old man, but I still look so nice. So how that thing came up? See? So at least go home back now with better faces. Hey, where this Farishta came from? They mustn't say, hey, where this Jinnat came from.